Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader Podcast. So today is kind of like the beginning of seed starting season, I think, for a lot of people, or at least February is. It's an exciting time of year. I know that for us right now, we are getting so much sun here in Ohio, and it really feels like spring is right around the corner. I mean, obviously, I know that we still have over a month until it is officially spring, and I know that it is going to get cold again, but right now, I am embracing the sunshine. We are tapping our maple trees, and I thought it would be a perfect time to talk about seed starting. So I am going to give a disclaimer here. This episode is not going to be your typical seed starting podcast that you might have heard on other gardening podcasts out there, because I do not start seeds in the typical way. I have discovered that that doesn't work for me. I like things to be easy. I like to have a system. I want them to be organized. Makes sense because I designed a planner. That's just the way that my head works. So I want to talk about the two ways that I am starting seeds for the 2024 garden year. So stay tuned for those two ways that are definitely not your typical ways. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader Podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio, with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. All right, so another disclaimer that I want to make here. This podcast, I always claim that I am never an expert about anything, because I'm not. I am growing. I am learning, just like you, just like we all are, which is why I wanted to create this podcast. A lot of times I get a little burnt out on listening to podcasts that are completely informational, just because they can be a little bit dry. And sometimes, depending on the person, they can come off a little bit cocky. I really hope, sincerely hope, that I never come across as cocky on this podcast, because again, I just am always experimenting and trying new things. Now, when I do think, though, that I have figured something out that works well for me and is a good system for my specific personality, my own specific like way of doing things and my own life, it is something to celebrate. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about today with seed starting. Now, another disclaimer here. This is probably not the most economical way to start seeds. Just putting it out there. This podcast is not about homesteading on the cheap. It's not about really saving money. Because as I've said before, like on the more philosophical episodes of this podcast, my husband and I did not get into homesteading to save money. We knew going into it that it wasn't going to be cheaper. I do get a little frustrated sometimes when I'm like on Facebook groups or something, like I'm on a Ohio homesteading group specifically, and I get a little frustrated sometimes when I see people posting, just complaining about how expensive things are. And yes, living life, it's going to cost money. That's just how it is. And yes, you can do things to try and make that cheaper. But when you are homesteading, setting up all of those systems that are perfect for you, it's going to take a lot of trial and error, and that is not cheap. And if you find systems that work with your personality, that make things just so much easier for you to do, and you're more apt to do the things you need to do when you're supposed to do them, it's just so much better in the long run, okay? So the things that I'm talking about today are definitely not your cheap, typical seed starting measures. I've tried that a few times And it didn't work for me. So again, I'm putting that disclaimer out there too. And again, I'm not an expert. So let me talk a little bit about the ways that I have started seeds. So our first garden, that was 3 years ago. Well, I guess two growing seasons. This one doesn't really count, 2024, because we haven't truly started it yet. But last year and the year before are the 2 years that I was trying to grow all of our own food. That first year, I started out with growing everything directly sown into my garden. And some of it was fine. Some of it wasn't. Some of it probably would have worked a little bit better if our soil quality would have been better. But midway through that year, I wanted to give myself a head start on seed starting or on my transplants for the fall. So I tried the typical, quote unquote, seed starting method, which involves buying your seed starting mix, putting it into a container of some sort, getting your little seedlings, then most likely potting them up, hardening them off, and doing all of that until you transplant them. I bought a fancy seed starting tray because I knew that the way that I am, I needed it to be very low maintenance. This fancy seed starting tray, it was self-watering, and it was like with a really hard, sturdy plastic, and I was like, okay, this will be great. It'll last me forever. Well, I didn't really have success with it, and honestly, the task of getting the seedling out of there, it was hard for me. I keep getting ads for all of these like super hard plastic seed starting trays, like the, you know, seed starting flats. And in my head, I just can't figure out how the heck you're supposed to get the plant out of there unless you like scoop it out with a spoon or something and potentially harm the roots, or you pull on it by its stem, which also isn't ideal either. And so to me, it just doesn't make sense. So anyways, I had terrible luck with that method. So then I thought, okay, let me transition to something that didn't have to be taken out of a container. So what I tried doing was making little seed starting cells out of toilet paper tubes and paper towel rolls. I thought this is awesome because those will decompose in my soil, and there won't be much root disturbance because all I have to do is just pull out this little toilet paper tube and stick it in the ground. So what I did there is I would fill up those toilet paper tubes. I would cut them down, I don't know, into half or thirds or something, and I would fill them with seed starting mix. Although my plants did take off there, the struggle that I had was light. So lighting is the biggest thing, the biggest hurdle that you have to get through with seed starting, in my limited opinion. This is also something that I hear stressed on every single gardening podcast that I listen to when they talk about seed starting. So if you don't want to buy grow lights, if you don't want to buy nice grow lights that are strong, then I'm sorry, but starting seeds inside, it's probably not going to go well. You cannot start seeds by your windowsill. You're going to get leggy plants, and they are not going to do well. Now, I'm not saying that you have to give up on gardening. That's not it at all. What I'm saying, though, is that you might have to buy your transplants from a different source. And that's totally fine, because I still do that. So there's no shame at all in buying transplants. Because, you know, if you are starting these seeds from inside and they're leggy and not doing well, you're going to be frustrated and you will waste so much time. And so, yes, you can try it. But I promise you, not having strong enough lights is just, it's the biggest part of it. So after that first year and finishing up that year, not being happy with my seed starting and my transplanting, I wanted to look for a different system. And originally I thought, well, I'll do the typical thing where I buy all of these grow lights and all of that. I get my rack, I keep it in my basement, just like the typical stuff that you see on Instagram. You know, I mean, you see those like wire racks that are full of shelves with seed starting trays, and the lights are all adjustable, whatnot. I did buy a cheap light and it didn't work very well. And so I was a little frustrated, and I also wasn't ready really to have this big, humongous system that was not able to like move around, that was just going to be stuck in my basement. I wasn't ready for it. It didn't make sense to me. And it wasn't a pretty setup. And I know that this sounds dumb, but at the end of that first year of trying to grow our own food, I remember it pretty darn vividly. My husband and I, it was a weekend in the morning. We were eating breakfast in our little nook, looking out into the woods. And it was probably October or something. And I was just telling him how I was so frustrated with my seed starting, that it was a mess, that I didn't like having to deal with the seed starting mix too, because a lot of times I'd buy a bag of Jiffy potting mix and it would be like moldy inside and disgusting. And so I was unhappy with that. And also he was too. He didn't like looking at all my messes. He didn't like looking at the mismatched things. And so if stuff like that doesn't bother you, then sure, go ahead, build your custom seed starting setup. That is just fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But for our personalities, both me and my husband, he wanted something that looked good because he is very particular. He's very orderly. He's much more neat than I am. So he just like, you know, spiritually, I guess you could say, he needed something that was just very orderly, straightforward, neat and tidy. That way it didn't bother him when he would see things. And then for me specifically, I wanted something that wasn't messy, like something that I didn't really have to get my hands into too much. And I wanted something that had really good lights and that was just kind of on autopilot. So that was about October. And at this time, I've mentioned this before on a podcast episode, but at this time, my brother, one of his friends, he works for the company AeroGarden. And so this friend, or well, my brother, I should say, he got an AeroGarden, which is an indoor hydroponic growing system. He had one of these and we would get pictures of all the plants that he was growing inside. And so I thought the concept was pretty cool. The lights seemed to be very strong, very powerful. And I liked the idea that everything was just contained. There was a system. It would do its thing on its own. The other thing I liked about it too is that I'd be able to leave my seedlings alone for a week or so and they would be fine. So like if we were going to go on a trip or something, that everything would be okay. So around Black Friday of that year, I decided to pull the trigger and buy 3 AeroGardens on a Black Friday deal. The other thing that went into this decision was doing some more research about the AeroGardens, and what I found out is that on top of being able to grow quote-unquote full-size plants, AeroGarden also makes seed starting inserts that go into their devices, because normally, at least with the size that I bought their Harvest model, and I'll be linking to all these things in the show notes. And please keep in mind, I am not affiliated with them at all, even though one of my brother's friends works there. That's my only connection to the company. I don't get any commission or anything. I just really love the products. So anyways, the nice thing is that they have inserts that can change the growing system so that you can increase the amount of seedlings that you're growing, because normally you grow about 6 plants in the Harvest model, and that's what I got. But they have special seed starting inserts where you can grow 23 things in your garden. Now, obviously, there's a lot more plants growing in one space, so you will have to, you know, move them around, give them more space eventually. But I was just very intrigued by this concept because for me, it was something that wasn't messy. It was something that had a system, something that was on autopilot. They also looked nice, I thought, and they had really good lights. So my first 3 came, the beginning of December that first year, or at the end of that first year, I should say. And I quickly became very impressed with them. Now, I'm a part of some AeroGarden Facebook groups, and I am definitely not into it as some of these other people are, where they are growing everything indoors all the time. I knew going into it that my AeroGarden was not going to be my end-all be-all for growing things. That's just it. That was never the intent. My plan the entire time was to start plants in it and then pot them up either into soil inside, like the herbs that I have going throughout winter, or I was going to eventually put those seedlings into my outdoor garden. Okay, so again, it was a decent investment. I think that when I bought them, each one was about $99 or so. But you have to remember here, with that price, I got a really good light. I had a system that was self-contained and something that would, in theory, last me over and over and over. So now we can fast forward to last year when I really started using them for the first time for seed starting. And let me just say, they are wonderful. They make seed starting so easy. You can get it done so quickly. And the process is, again, it's clean, it's tidy, it's on autopilot, and I really do love it. Now, there are some drawbacks. Well, not necessarily drawbacks, but yeah, kind of. So, I mean, first of all, I'm going to be honest, the price. AeroGarden does have some larger models of their hydroponic gardens where you can put lots and lots more seedlings in there. But in my brain, it just didn't make sense to have one really, really big unit. I wanted lots of multiple units so I could start things at different times. So since then, I now have 6 AeroGardens. So I know that sounds insane because I have 6 and it sounds like a lot of money. But remember, 3 of them I got for a Black Friday deal. One of them I got as a gift for that Christmas. And then the other 2 I actually bought used. And so, of course, I got those for much cheaper than the retail price. Again, they are wonderful. But back to that drawback. So this year, fast forward to now in 2024, this is the year where I determined, okay, I'm finally going to do onions the real way, the quote unquote real way. And this second seed starting method is what I'm going to talk about today, too. But if I want to grow a shit ton of onions, like enough to last us, hopefully maybe a year, there was no way in the world that I would be able to tie up my AeroGardens with all onions. That just didn't make sense to me. So if you are someone who is growing mass quantities of things, like maybe you are a market gardener or someone like that, yeah, it's probably not going to make sense to have a lot of AeroGardens the way that I do. Or you make a bigger investment and you go with one of their larger models. I don't know. That's up to you. But at least for my stage in my homestead journey, I'm only trying to grow for myself. And so for me, having the multiple smaller gardens, it just makes sense. So that could be a drawback if you are trying to grow mass quantities of things. And like I said, I'm doing that with onions this year, and so I do have a different seed starting method for that, but I'm going to get to that after the break. So, more things about the AeroGarden. Although they are wonderful, there are a few things that I have learned along the way. So, the basic setup of the AeroGarden with the seed starting insert is that you will put what they call these grow sponges, which are made out of like coconut core, into the little holes in your tray. You'll put your water in there, you'll set your light to the right level, and you'll just let things sprout and continue to grow. And then once you get sprouting, you'll add your fertilizer, etc. So same concept as if you are starting seeds inside. Now, what I have discovered with the AeroGardens is that if you are trying to grow super hardy seedlings that will survive outside, you do want to adjust your light a little bit. What I have discovered is that if I start my seeds and I set up my garden the way it normally is, like quote unquote, just like normal setup, I do think that the light is a little bit far away. So what I will do is I will just simply lift up, like I'll place some spacers underneath the base of my model or the base of my garden, and then the space, like the container where the water is held, I will put a spacer in between there to lift up my seedlings closer to the light, because that right there is very, very important. Right when they are germinating and, you know, the weeks after that, when they are starting to get their true leaves, that part is very important, and you do not want to skimp on the amount of light that they get. So once my plants are reaching close enough to the light, I will then take that spacer out and I will you know, lower the seedlings back down to where they're supposed to, quote unquote, normally be. So I hope that makes sense. Another thing that I discovered with the Aero Gardens is that it can be very helpful to sanitize these grow sponges that they sell. As you know, when you are starting seeds, algae can grow on your seed starting mix, and that can take nutrients away from your growing seedlings. And so what I've discovered, and to kind of help prevent this, is that it's very helpful to boil these sponges with, you know, just hot water to kind of sanitize them before you get going. That's helped me out a ton, just to kind of be doubly sure that nothing gross is going to be growing in my garden. But, you know, that's the same kind of thing that happens with seed starting mix. It's supposed to be sterilized, but as I told you, I've gotten bags of Jiffy seed starting mix that have mold in them. And so, you know, nothing can ever be totally clean and sterile for your seedlings. So by sanitizing these grow sponges in boiling water, I get a lot better luck. Another thing that I have discovered too is that you really do want to wait to fertilize until your seeds have germinated, because during that time, again, algae can take over before your seeds germinate, and that can cause problems. So you want to try to wait to fertilize until after you get some good growth on your seedling, because remember, seeds, in theory, they have all of the nutrients and the energy that they need to sprout inside of them. They don't need fertilizer. Plants really don't need fertilizer until after they have started to grow their true leaves. So once you get to that point, that is when I would add the fertilizer. So those are just a couple things just to keep in mind if you are using the Aero Gardens. They might sound like drawbacks, but honestly, they're just things that I have learned, just some tips. So another beautiful thing that I learned about the Aero Garden last year is that you don't have to pot things up as much as you think you do. And this is specific to the cold weather crops. And that is because they are generally a lot more hardy and they don't need to be babied, especially during the springtime. They can go out a lot earlier. And so what I've discovered is that, yes, I do not need to pot these things up, but I can also unplug the base where the plants are of the Aero Garden, and I can put it outside and harden the plants off just in the unit. And it is so much easier to carry these around than like big, awkward, like, you know, flats of plants that can be very bendy and flimsy. And it's so easy. So that makes the hardening off process just awesome. Now, another thing that you do need to keep in mind though, is that that's not for every plant. Last year, my warm weather crops, like my tomatoes and my peppers, I did pot those up into other pots. And that was simply because they were getting too big in my Aero Garden for the space that I had. Now, another option that you can do for potting up, quote unquote, is if you have multiple Aero Gardens, you can take the seedlings from the seed starting tray and you can put them into another garden that does not have the seed starting tray in there. So just the holes for six plants. That gives the plants more space, more nutrients, more light, and it can just, you know, you can do it that way. Now, that's again, of course, if you have a lot of these. If you don't, just stick them outside and they will be fine. So back to those warm weather things. My method for potting these up was, I thought, very easy last year. That was definitely a much more messy process than the Aero Gardens. But what I did is I made paper pots out of the inside layers of my chicken feed bags. And I made those with a mason jar. I put them in a plastic tub and I filled them with potting soil and then put my seedlings in. This worked very well. And then the other great thing is that all I had to do was just put water in the container that they were sitting in, and they would just absorb the water. And it was just very easy to water and monitor. One thing when you are transplanting from the Aero Garden, which is a hydroponic system, into soil, this is something that you need to keep in mind. Remember that those plants, They've been used to just sitting in water. So those first few days of transplanting, you need to make sure that the plants stay very wet. Another thing that is helpful too is to trim the roots of those seedlings. And honestly, I just rip them off. And that prompts the plant to put new roots into soil and kind of like learn, I guess, a new way of growing, if that makes sense. So trimming the roots and making sure that the seedlings are very, very wet after transplanting is important for those first few days. And then after that, you can water them just like normal, I would say, for a normal transplant. So that is how I'm going to be transitioning my warm weather crops outside again. I did that last year. I'm going to do it again this year. So again, I potted up those AeroGarden seedlings into soil in paper pots, and I hardened them off outside in just some containers, and that's how I water them. One thing here that you should know too, is that the AeroGarden, it makes stuff grow a lot faster. So that's great for the brassicas and things like that, that they grow quickly, they can go outside quickly. But those more tender things like the tomatoes and the peppers and basil, they grow so fast that they can get too big. And that definitely happened to me last year. My tomatoes and my peppers, they were way too big for their containers. And yes, I could have potted them up into bigger containers, but it wasn't necessarily the size of the plant that was the problem. It was the fact that they had flowers on them before they went outside. And although that seems great, I truly think that by putting the plants out at that age, it caused a lot more transplant shock when I put them outside. So this year I am starting my seeds like 2 weeks later because I don't want my plants to be too big. I don't want them to have flowers indoors. I want all of that to happen outside. So do keep that in mind, that AeroGardens will speed up the growth of your plants way quicker than if you were starting seeds in the quote unquote normal way. So that was a lot of information about the AeroGarden. And again, I am not sponsored by them at all. I just really think that they are wonderful tools for seed starting. If you are someone who is like me, where you just want a system for something, you want it to be clean, you want it to be easy, you want to be able to set it and forget it, like say you're going on vacation at some point during the spring. I know that we are. We're going to be going on a week-long vacation kind of mid-March. And that's a pretty critical time for starting seeds and doing all of that stuff. But the beautiful thing is that I can start seeds before we go, set my AeroGarden to do its thing while I'm gone, and everything will be fine by the time I get back. I will have a week of growth that I didn't have to monitor, nothing. So they really are fantastic units if you do want that sort of ease. Now, if you are someone who really loves the seed starting process of mixing up your seed mix and all of that, then do that. That's wonderful. Just keep in mind that you're probably going to have to do a lot more thinking and tinkering to get your customized setup. Okay, so it might just take some more time, and there's nothing wrong with that. For me, I wish I would have known about AeroGardens from the first time I started trying to grow all of our own food. But oh well, I didn't. That's why this podcast is here. So hopefully you can learn about something, anything, earlier than you would have normally, and it can hopefully help you out. So again, I'm going to put a link to my specific model of AeroGarden in the show notes. And after the break, I'm going to talk about the new style of seed starting that I'm using this year. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grow and Flourish Planner, the garden and homestead planner I developed that goes beyond the farm because it helps you set goals and discover which facets of your homestead life need the most attention and which facets deserve celebrating. In this second edition of my planner, you get over 225 color-coded and seasonal pages of planning, documentation, and introspection. It starts out with a yearly overview, including the Grow and Flourish assessment, that helps you prioritize areas of your life like relationships, homestead production, work, health, and more. The planner is then divided and color-coded into the four seasons, with each season having a check-in assessment, a space to consolidate notes from last year, map the garden, plan your plantings, track your seed starting, track soil health and amendments, write down seasonal meals, inventory your seeds, summarize the season, and more. Each season is then broken down into months, with summary pages, daily rhythms, weekly planning, day-by-day tracking, harvest tracking, and egg production pages. Each section of the planner is tabbed to keep you organized, and it includes a rip-proof and waterproof cover to keep your dreams and records safe. The planner is also designed for the disc binding system, which allows the planner to grow with you. Whether you want to see only one season at a time, all the seasons together, or even keep last year's notes right alongside so you can compare. This planner is $39, but as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off when you use the code PODCAST at checkout. Get yours now with a link in the show notes and be the most prepared you've ever been for next season. Okay, so the new way that I'm starting seeds this year is specifically for my onions. So, at the end of last year, when I discovered that starting onions outside directly in the soil didn't work, I decided, okay, this year, meaning 2024, I was going to do onions the quote-unquote right way, which means starting them inside from seeds and transplanting out seedlings. So I originally was going to use the toilet paper tubes that I mentioned in the first part of the episode, because honestly, that really does work. If you have some nice trays that you can put these cut-up toilet paper tubes into, it really does work well. You do have to have a good light, though. So since I made that decision, I am very fortunate enough that my in-laws found four really awesome grow lights, and they got them for free, and they gave them to me. And so I am very fortunate in this. I do not know anything about grow lights. I just know that these are very bright when you plug them in, and that my onions seem to be very happy underneath them. So this method of seed starting will require lights. So you will have to do your own research on what kind of lights are good, what are not. So again, I was just working with free lights that were given to me. So I was going to make my system adapt to those. Okay. So when I was originally going to do this whole setup with the onions, again, I was going to use those toilet paper tubes. What I discovered is that a typical like 10 by 20 seed starting tray fits perfectly underneath my grow lights. Makes sense. What I was going to do is I was going to fill that up completely with the toilet paper tubes, cut down to probably half their length, and fill them up with seed starting mix. Again, though, I had bad memories of opening up a bag of seed starting mix and it having mold inside. And so I didn't really want to deal with that, but I figured, you know what, I will, whatever. Now, I did a little bit of end of the year seed shopping from True Leaf Market last winter. I was getting some stocking stuffers and also just some seeds for myself, of course. And I came across, well, really the story is that I had to get free shipping. Well, I had to spend a certain amount of money to get free shipping because, you know, that's how it works. You always try to get free shipping if you can. So anyways, I was looking around the site and I was just kind of putzing around looking at their seed starting supplies. And I came across these pucks that would fluff up when you got them wet. So it was like that compressed sort of soil. But the cool thing is that they were already encapsulated in something that would decompose or degrade in your soil over time. So it was pretty much these toilet paper tubes with seed starting mix already made together. Now, would it probably have been cheaper if I would have done it myself with the toilet paper tubes and the seed starting mix? Yes, probably it would have been. But remember, the way that I am, my personality, I wanted things to be easy and not messy, especially when I'm inside. I don't really mind getting messy when I'm outside, but doing these seeds in my kitchen, because I don't know about you, but that's where I start seeds. I'm in my kitchen. I didn't like making a mess, getting dirt all over the counter. It's just not my preferred thing. So anyways, these pucks were very appealing to me. And so I bought 250 of them. It was probably like $40-ish, I think, for all 250. And I thought, okay, that should be enough for all the onions that I want to start this year. So they came and they sat in my basement until I was ready to use them. They have a couple different widths, but I got one that I figured would be good enough for my onions. So a couple weeks ago, I started my onions and so far I am very happy with how these things work. So a few pointers though. I thought that I would be able to fill up my 10 by 20 tray with all of the pucks, have them right side up, fill them up with water, and they would eventually puff up. They did, but I think that the more thorough way to moisten the pucks would be if I would just kind of put them in a bowl or something and really like handle each one individually first, like in the water as it's filling up, and then place them into the seed starting tray. The way that I did it, you know, it ended up working just fine, but you are going to have to keep adding water and water and water as they start to swell up and get taller. So essentially they come to you, they're about, you know, the size of a quarter, they're taller than that, but not by much. They might be like a half inch at most tall. And then eventually they swell up. So they're probably, I don't know, 3 or so inches tall, plenty of space for an onion seedling specifically. So once they were all puffed up and moist in my 10 by 20 trays, all I had to do was place the onion seeds. Now, I say that as if it was an easy process. I mean, it wasn't especially hard, but onion seeds are really small. And I probably should have used tweezers, but I was just too lazy to go and get any. And so with these seed starting pucks, what I would recommend is to kind of rough up the surface of it a little bit, actually, this is a good idea now that I'm thinking about it. You could saturate all of your pucks maybe the day before and let them fully saturate and soften. And then you could put your seeds in more easily the next day maybe. But I didn't do that. I did it all in one fell swoop. So what I did was I took a skewer and I just kind of roughed up the surface of the puck a little bit. And then I dropped my seeds on. Again, would have been a lot easier if I used tweezers, but I didn't. And then I kind of used the flat end of the skewer to kind of poke the seeds down into the puck a little bit and cover them up just a tad. That's all. In most of my pucks, I put probably 2 seeds. Some of them only got 1 just because I was worried about running out of seeds. But gosh, I keep checking on them every day and I have just about 100% germination in every single puck. So that also just proves that Johnny's seeds are wonderful. So right now I do have my seedlings all in the basement. I have a fan on them. They're underneath my grow lights, and just with how my specific grow lights that I got for free, again, are, I did raise up my trays a little bit more, like I put just another tray upside down under there, just to make sure that they were close enough to my light. Eventually, I will be fertilizing these guys, and eventually, hopefully, they'll get more thick, more sturdy. I'll have to thin out the extras that I have growing and then trim them off. And hopefully, by the time it comes time to transplant them out, I will have onion seedlings that are about a pencil width in diameter, I think is the ideal size. So far, these pucks are doing very well. I will put a link to them in the show notes. Again, they're definitely not a super cheap option because using the toilet paper tubes and filling them up with seed starting mix probably would have been cheaper. But again, I didn't have to buy seed starting mix and I didn't have to worry about anything being moldy because these seed starting pucks come to you completely bone dry, meaning that nothing nasty can grow in them. So far, it seems like it's going to be a great system because all I will have to do to transplant is just take my flat out to the garden, dig a hole, pull out my onion seedling, and stick it in the hole. I'm not going to have to do any potting up, nothing. There's no soil to worry about, like scooping out of a tray. I'll be able to just plug and play. That's the theory. So very similar to the AeroGarden. So you can see how my personality plays a big role in the way that I like to start seeds. So again, that is why this episode was not your typical seed starting episode about watering down your seed starting mix and blah, 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 sticking it in your trays, whatnot. This is the way that works well for me. So again, I will put links in the show notes to the AeroGarden, specifically the harvest model, and also the seed starting upgrade trays that you can put in them. And I will also link to these seed starting pucks. And now that I'm thinking about it, I will go and check to see what the brand of my grow lights are. But again, I got them for free. I have no idea how much they are. I haven't Googled them, nothing, but I will look them up and I'll put them in the show notes for you. So that is it for today. Happy seed starting. I hope that you get to start some seeds because it's always a fun time of year. I also hope that you are getting some sun too, and that you can get outside. So again, that's it for today, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader Podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week, but until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.